Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion, the greatest, nay, the most superb show on all the air. If you're not even listening to this show, what are you doing? This is one of the best shows that you can lock into. We want you to be a part of it. And my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. Now, if you have any questions that you want to get onto the show, we want to make sure you know that you can reach us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Our show exists to dig deep into the scripture and proclaim it boldly. We believe that the Bible teaches that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend on this show in the lion's den to be bold as lions. Great stuff coming up this year. As this fall, we are going to be switching to video. You want to be in line to become part of the Lion's Den to see us drop our first podcast on video this fall. Do not forget. Now, we've been on some great stuff this season so far, but before we even get into anything else, we want to make sure that you know that Sam and I are part of the elder team of Electric City Baptist Church, as well as our church plant, Refuge City Bible Church. And ECBC meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in the heart of Schenectady County on 2350 Hamburg Street, 10:30 a.m. Come join us, worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, open up the Word of God, and declare His truth. Today's content is going to be on fire. You want to be staying through the entire episode. Share it with a friend. We want to shout out a thank you to our sponsor of today's episode. It looks like it's a Brian Smith. Brian Smith, the worship leader of Refuge City Bible Church. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for sponsoring today's show. I think he sponsored specifically the microphones. So thank you, worship leader, for sponsoring these microphones today. Old Lion, if you would, as we jump into today's show, could you kick us off in like fashion with a word of prayer?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today, Lord, for giving us breath in our lungs, giving us minds that can understand, giving us a word of God that we can trust in and rely upon. Father, as we explore the deep truths of your word in this Theologies series, Father, I ask that you'd give us grace to explain things that ought to be simple that seem to be so complex. Father, I pray that as we talk about anthropology, what is man, the study of man today, Lord, that people would understand that they as people need God. And I pray that this truth would be burning in their hearts, that they would find their fulfillment in the Savior, Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know what trial or triumph that you've been in recently, but we pray that this show brings you a little bit closer to your Creator, especially today's topic, because it's about you. And so, Old Line, could you tell us, you know, where we've been over the past few weeks, where we're going today, and what do you see for us in the future?
Yes, we're on kind of a marathon series here, Theologies, and we covered theology proper, and we covered the doctrine of Christ, Christology. We talked about the doctrine of the Bible, bibliology. We talked about pneumatology last week, the study of the Spirit of God, and we're kind of shifting our focus from God, whom we explained. Now we're shifting our focus to the study of man today, anthropology. And so we're going to find out, what is man? Which is a question that the Bible itself asks. We're going to find out what man is made up of. We're going to find out how man is divided, just like we talked about with God. He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit. How is man divided up? We're going to cover that question. We're also going to get into man's destiny. Man was made with a purpose. God had something in mind when He made this man out of dust on the earth, and we're going to find out what that is today as well. It's going to be a great show.
I'm excited about it, and we still have about five or six more episodes on Theologies, and you should go back and listen. Start at the beginning and get through some of the episodes that we've already dropped, and be excited about what we got coming up in the future as well. So before we get into the content, Old Line, can you tell me why this anthropology, this study of man, what is he, what is man that God is mindful of, why is this important for people to know? What's special about this one? Why is it significant? Why should the common listener want to know about this doctrine of the Bible?
Well, the truth is that everybody has these deep questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? These are the basic questions of life that everybody has. And some people are out there suppressing those questions. They're creating false meaning in this world. They are chasing things to dull their senses and to dull these questions. But these burning questions are ones that every single person has. And the beautiful thing is, we've got the answers.
No, I think that's good. You open up the very first pages of the Bible and you start to find the actual history of man. And I think we want to contrast just a little bit. We won't go deep into it. We've done an episode on this before. But we want to contrast the anthropology of man from a biblical worldview as maybe what the secular worldview says. The secular worldview says that you come from some asexual primordial ooze that somehow flows into a lizard that lopped its tail off, turned into a monkey, and then started reading books eventually. That somehow if you let this guy sit at a typewriter for 10,000 years, he's going to start typing out the message of the entire Bible. And so somehow we have secular professors, or what I would call professors of the secular religion, that want to teach you your history and what you're made of. And they eliminate all the supernatural. They eliminate all the spiritual. They eliminate what men have known to be truth for thousands of years for the sake of their own pockets being lined. So they sell you a whole bucket of lies that tell you that what your life should be about is paying bills and then dying. And maybe someone might get you a nice casket or say some nice words at your funeral, but there's no more specialty to this thing of humanity than just living for a few years and then dying off after eating a few good steaks. They're lying to you to line their profits. They're lying to line. These guys are not telling the truth. They're anti-Christ. They're anti-biblical. And what they want to do is secure more souls for their Lord, their father, Satan, the father of lies. And so we're going to contrast this false idea of what man is from what the world teaches with the true identity that God teaches us from his holy word. So we start off in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and it's going to tell you how man was made. It's going to tell you all the problems that man are dealing with. It looked good unto the eyes. And so every time you get pulled away with something that looked good unto the eyes, hey, God already told you that this might happen. You keep putting the wrong things in your mouth. This is something that's happened from, you know, the very first page of the Bible that God warns you about. Stop putting this stuff in your mouth, he says to you. And we're going to learn about who man is even from the first pages of the Bible. So I want to read the first verse. And I want to give Old Lion some space to talk about it. In Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." So God says, let us make man in our image. So talk to us, Old Lion. What's the significance of this? We first start to understand that we're not from some bowl of star soup, but we're actually created in the image of God. What's the value of this?
We want to know. We want to answer this question. Who are we? And being made in the image of God, that means a lot of things. First of all, I want to say this because not a lot of people recognize this. Did you know that God has form? God has shape. You have two hands, you have a nose, you have a mouth, you have ears, you have eyes. A lot of people imagine that God has no shape. He's just some ethereal blob somewhere in the heavens of pure energy.
Right.
And I want you to know God has a form. And so one of the ways that we bear the image of God is in our shape and in our form. We have five fingers on each hand because God has five fingers on his hand. The other thing is we bear the image of God in our character. So we love our children. We love our wives, our spouses, because this is something that God does. This is a characteristic of God who loves his children, who loves his bride. These are characteristics of God that are carried about in us. We are merciful to our fellow man because God is merciful. These are characteristics of God, that image in us. The other thing is we are in God's image. God is a conqueror. He's a winner.
That's good. I like that.
And so we desire to be people of victory, want to overcome challenges, overcome obstacles, get that championship. That is something that's innate in us because that's who God is. There's a lot of other ways that we manifest his image, but those are a few.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it gives value to why we don't just go and destroy each other as well. Why we don't just go and break our own bodies, why we don't go and break other people's bodies is because we are a reflection of the creator God that made us. The Bible teaches this in a couple other places. In the book of Acts, chapter number 17, Paul is preaching, and he's going to use this teaching as he comes from the Sermon of Mars Hill. You should go look this up, the Sermon of Mars Hill. Paul starts by preaching to people who don't even know who God is yet. He says, for as much then as we are the offspring or the family of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, stone, graven by the art of man's device. This is what Old Lion was talking about. God is not some distant tiki torch that just you bring some sacrifices to and he brings you some blessing. He, as you see reflected in us, is not stone or graven by art or silver, but he is personal like we are personal. Furthermore, in the book of James, Chapter number 3, the Bible also gives us this indication that we bless God, even the Father, and we curse men. Then it describes men which are made after the likeness of God. And James is warning us that we bless God because we know that God is wonderful and superior and above us. But then we look at men who are made in his likeness and we curse them. And maybe you found yourself regularly in traffic or other places cursing the men around you. You need to be reminded that those are made in the image of God. Those are made in the likeness of God, and they are the family or the offspring of God. So when you start asking the question, what is man? The first thing that we want to establish is that man is made in the image of God. But I want you to bring this up online. I think we've talked about this among many tables, Bible studies for years about this. So if man is made in the image of God, what is his anatomy? What is he made up of? And is there a portion of scripture that teaches us what man is? Maybe it doesn't explain the whole thing like a health book, but is there somewhere in the Bible that we can go and find what man is made up of?
Yes, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. But before we do that, I just want to say that these folks that Pastor Anthony was mentioning before, these college professors, these so-called wise men of this age are trying to sell us a bill of goods. They're saying that man is nothing but a biological computer. He is nothing but biology. We are the sum total of our nerves and synapses and the chemical reactions that are going on in there. And this is something that the Bible militates against. The Bible teaches us that man, let's read it out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. I don't know if you have it there.
Yeah, here it is. Here's what it says. And the very God of peace, which I already like the way this is starting. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray, that God will sanctify you. How? Your whole spirit and your soul and your body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it gives these three, what would you call them? Pieces? How would you describe it, old
Let's just say components.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, back to the first thing we talked about man being made in God's image, you know, we've broken this out over the last several weeks is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, as God has triune nature, so also man made in his image, we are also triune beings. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. And this is admittedly, just like the Trinity, is a mystery. The Bible says the mystery, God was manifest in the flesh. How does that even happen? It's a mystery of how body and soul and spirit interact in this one being, and you look at them with your eyes and you can't discern where the soul begins and the spirit ends and where the soul ends and the body begins. Yet, this mystery of this triune nature of what is man is nonetheless true, even though it's difficult at times to discern.
Yeah, that's understandable. So when we start to break down these, as you put, this trichotomy, these components, let's start with the body. And I think this is probably the most familiar to everyone. Everyone has gotten used to their skin. They know what their body is kind of made up. We've dissected it. We know kind of what is part of the human body. This is the part where maybe some of the scholarly people in the world might get right. They know that you have bones. They know that you have teeth. They know that you have these things. But talk to us about this first component, the body. Where can we find some definition of what the Bible teaches about our body?
Well, first of all, we learn in Genesis chapter 2 that we are made out of dirt.
Right. Out of the dust of the world.
I know you think you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, wow, I'm really handsome. But I want you to understand you are, at your essence, in your body, you are basically a dirt ball.
Dirt ball. I think that's... Now, I don't think... Maybe you don't have permission to curse others with that name. But at your essence, I think there's science even declares this, that there's 96 different elements that are involved in the dirt that's on Earth. And also the same 96 elements are what's composed of men. And I think I read a study years ago that said 97% of what's in a banana is the same thing that's inside of a human being. And wow. So, but let's go a little bit further than that. You understand, the Bible even teaches this, that there's this lust of your flesh. There's the desires of what your body wants and needs. And we get familiar with these desires. Our body can be used for things that are good, can be used for things that are bad. But we all recognize when we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, this first part or this first component that God describes of you as a person, body, we're familiar with the body. We're familiar with the physical. We feel pain. We feel excitement. But let's look at the next one. Do you have another one about body? Or
with
you
the body as well, we need to recognize not only are we made from the dust of the earth, the Bible says, but we're also a house. This body
is a tabernacle.
It's a tent. It's a dwelling place. It's a house for your inner man, which consists of your soul and your spirit. Your physical body, that operates on this earth is a house for your inner man, the immaterial part of your being. And so this house is something that can operate. Your spirit, your soul needs this house in order to function and operate and do things in this earthly realm.
Yeah, well, you've heard them say the five senses, and your body has these sight, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. There's these five senses, but there's other senses. There's a sixth sense. And no, I'm not talking about the movie. There's a sixth sense that's the spiritual component of mankind, and we want to get to a portion of that. So the next thing that pops up in this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that teaches you the answer to what is man and why is God mindful of him, and that's the soul. And at least for me, O-Lion, the first verse that pops up is when Jesus talks about this, that a man shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. At least that's what pops up to my mind, exchanging for worldly goods to give up this thing of the soul. But what comes to mind for you when you think of that, this part of man called the soul?
Well, this is really important. And I would say again, we're talking about the soul and we're talking about the spirit. These two aspects of the anatomy of man comprise what the Bible calls the inner man.
Okay.
This is the immaterial portion of our being. And one thing we have to understand is these things that God created, the soul, the spirit, these are eternal. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that you are of dust and to dust you shall return. The physical part of our body, this temporary dwelling place for our inner man, this outer man, is wasting away, the Bible says. It is decaying. It is going from dust to dust. But this inner man is an everlasting entity.
Right.
It's never going to stop existing. This soul here is the seat. This is where our mind is. This is where our emotions are. This is where our will resides, in this realm of the soul. And so this is when you think of yourself, who am I? When I'm talking about myself, I, me, myself, and I'm really mostly talking about my soul, my mind.
Your soul is seated in this tent that you said that's kind of moving around to experience things in the natural world. And I think that you put forth a good point. Sometimes people understand souls as some kind of Scooby-Doo-ish floating around ethereal thing, but the Bible describes it a little bit differently. The Bible says that souls, the souls of men that were beheaded in the tribulation in the end times of the earth, those souls of men will be seated in on thrones. Then it says that they will be given clothes to wear. So hey folks, I don't know if you ever heard this anywhere, but this is where the Bible talks about, that the souls of men have the ability to put on jackets. That's what it says. Furthermore, the Bible says that Lazarus's soul was carried away by angels. Then it says that when Lazarus is having a conversation in Abraham's bosom, having a conversation with the rich man's soul is in a terrible place, in this hell. And he's saying, take some water and put it on my tongue. So this soul has a tongue. So your soul can wear a jacket, your soul can put a garment on from the Lord, your soul can taste water, your soul looks exactly like your body, but is the soul form of who you are. Your soul lasts forever, and these are interesting things that the Bible talks about. So did you have one other piece that you want to talk about on the soul?
A lot of people think that I'm a body and I have a soul, but it's the reverse. You're just saying, I am a soul and I have a body. We need to think of ourselves as souls. And this is the way God addresses us in many places, as the souls that were beheaded. The soul is you. Interestingly, this word soul in the original Greek of the Bible is psyche. So when you talk about psychologists, these are people who study and try to heal the souls of people. And that's a whole nother conversation. We'll get into that in another episode. But when you think of the soul, that's your psyche, your mind, your will, your emotions.
Well, yeah, and I think we've lost touch with some of this truth in humanity. So in a world that's become have it your way, instant everything, I can get anything I want in a touch of a button, we've lost maybe some soulful things that humanity used to be in touch with. Even if you remember, if you can recall old newspapers, someone might say when a plane went down, we lost 8 souls on this plane crash, or if the Titanic sank and hundreds of souls were lost. This is a term that men used to understand, humanity used to understand strictly as souls being that person. Now we make it into some kind of, oh, I'm just soul searching, or I'm just in touch with my emotional side of things, or we got soul food. We got all these ideas. But the Bible and history of humanity always recognized that you are a soul with a body, not a body that has a soul. And so I really appreciate that take. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, when Paul is writing that, and just set this aside, Paul is praying that all of these things be sanctified and grown. So I love that. This needs to be very clear, especially in the Christian world, that just because Christ has saved you from your sins doesn't mean that you need to go about not caring about anything physical with the body. And just because Christ has saved you and given you a home in heaven doesn't mean that you don't need to care for your soul. And just because Christ has saved you and placed you into a body of believers where you can kind of do some things in the community and help doesn't mean that you don't need to care about your spirit. The Bible says that the worshipers of God worship in spirit and in truth. And so let's talk about this third component of the Trinity of Man, or the trichotomy of man, about his spirit. So, Sam, give us a little bit of an idea about what this thing is, man's spirit.
Okay, so this is another one of those things, and we talked about this with the Spirit of God being kind of the redheaded stepchild of the Trinity.
Sure.
And I think the same thing goes with the Spirit of Man. The Spirit of Man is kind of this redheaded stepchild of the triune nature of man. A lot of people don't even realize that there's any difference between the soul and the spirit. There's a lot of people who don't even think about the spirit as being an important component of mankind. And I think there's a reason for that.
Tell us the reason.
The reason for that is in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. And so there's this sense in which our spirit man, this part of us, the fundamental nature of the spirit is that's the part of man that can commune with God.
Mm.
The Bible says that when a man turns to the Lord, he becomes one spirit.
Right. There's a connection there.
So that is what was lost in the Garden of Eden. We're going to talk about that later.
Let me give a verse that supports this for you, Oli. I think you're right on track. The connection between God and man is in the spirit. And though there will be a time when we see him and we will be like him, when Jesus comes and rules and reigns, we'll be able to interact with him in the physical. Right now, the way that we communicate directly with God is through the spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 16, the Bible says, the spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Mm. The only way that you can know that you're a child of God is that God's Holy Spirit communicates and speaks with your spirit. If your spirit is dead, you are none of his, the Bible says.
Mm.
And so Adam's sin caused the spirit of mankind to die. He passed down this infectedness throughout all of our generations, but then God comes along and his spirit wakes up your spirit.
That's right.
And now you can communicate with his spirit. Now you have a line directly to God in the spirit.
Mm, that's well said. And his spirit, God desires those who worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Unless your spirit has been made alive, quickened, if you will, through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, you are in no way able to properly worship your creator. You're in no way able to properly function as a human being. You're stuck walking around like the rest of mankind, following the desires of the body and the mind, or the soul. And so you become just a soulish creature, which is what most people are who are walking around. They have not been spiritually awakened. They've not been, as the Bible says, born again. So this spirit is, again, that part of your inner being, that immaterial part that you can't see, but that is very real. It's part of your eternal existence as a human being.
And I like that. And I like that the way that we're reflecting our creator is in these three parts. There's an interesting verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts.
There you go.
And this idea about this divine spark, and a lot of people want to make a divine spark or something like that be in every single man. And to some degree, maybe there's some mysterious truth about that. But the spark, the light, the candle of the Lord is your awakened spirit when you place your trust in Jesus Christ and the Father sends his spirit to come in and dwell, communicate with your spirit so that you can speak back and forth with God. This is the anatomy, the makeup of man. We saw that we were made in the image of God. We saw how we're made of body, soul, and spirit. But now we must ask the question, if this is who we are, if this is how we're made, so then what is our purpose? What is our reason? Where are we going? The ship that we're on, this thing that we're in, what is it and where are we going? What's our purpose and what's our destiny? Dust ball to superstar, someone might say. So tell us, Old Lion, what's the destiny of man? What did God intend for us?
we were created in dust, and when Adam fell, it says, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You talked about stardust before, and in Daniel chapter 12, God says this. This is the destiny of mankind. And it says this in verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Mm. Our destiny, the Bible says that, do you not know that the saints will judge angels?
That's right.
And so it's a little known fact here. A lot of people think that it's just people that were believers, that were forgiven, that are going to live forever in heaven, and the rest of the people are just going to cease to exist. The truth of the Bible is that everyone, every human being, is going to live forever with a resurrected body. This is an eternal body that can never be destroyed, never go away. It's going to be there forever. And every single human being is going to have that. The problem is, unless one is reunited with Jesus Christ spiritually by faith, they are going to spend eternity separated from God in hell, in torment, where the worm does not die, the Bible says, and the fire is not quenched. Yet those who have been redeemed, those who are wise, verse 3 in Daniel chapter 12, will shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. We are actually destined to be those of us who overcome to sit with the Lord Jesus on his throne, just like he overcame and sat with his Father on his throne. This is our destiny, to judge angels, to be rulers, to be kings and priests forever with God in glory, in splendor, in paradise.
Did you know that you had a destiny? I want you to think about that for a second. And I'm just a regular guy. And I know the plight of the regular man is to wake up, go to work, pay his bills, fight with his wife, yell at his kids, and go to bed. You feel like this is an endless cycle of just doing your best. But did you know that God has a destiny set aside for you, that you're built for a purpose, built for meaning, that there's a reason why you're here? You are not an accident that two space rocks slammed together and became. There's a reason why you feel those tendencies to love, to care about other people. There's a reason why you have the tendency to want to go out and be a provider. There's a reason why you have a tendency, ladies, to be a caretaker. This is part of what God built into you to be part of your destiny. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2 that men who will judge angels in the future for a little while were made lower than angels. But then he says this, men were crowned with glory and honor, and they were set to be in charge with dominion over all the works of God's hands. So you might feel that compulsion to want to be a leader of something, to bring order from disorder, to want to take something that's disorganized and help organize it. Did you know that that's part of the DNA that God put into you?
That's right.
God wants you to be operating as if you could wear a crown on your head. And if you feel the guilt and condemnation that this world has placed on you, you need to be alleviated of that by casting at the feet of Jesus, and he will place the crown that you should have been wearing on your head in the purpose and role that he has for you. Your destiny is not only to judge angels in the future, but to be in charge of something in the kingdom today. Mm. You're supposed to have dominion over something today. And we've been given all kinds of tricks and gimmicks to make us feel like we're in control of things when we're just looking for new ways to fill our fleshly lusts. The Lord wants to remove that from you and give us space to actually wear a crown of glory and honor and walk about this place with the actual purpose that you are given to be the image bearer of God and to tell as many people as you can that they can find purpose and mission in this God that made them. You have a purpose, you have a destiny, and God's placed in you. He set eternity in your heart so that you will desire not just eat and drink, but something bigger and better. Go read Hebrews 2. Go read Genesis 1. Go look into 1 Thessalonians 5. You are made in the image of God. You are body, soul, and spirit, and you've been given a destiny to fulfill. Don't be sidetracked by the flashy, attractive things of this world. Don't forget the greatest question that was ever asked, what is man? But don't forget one of the answers that comes along with that is that God is mindful of you. He cares about you. He's interested in you. Now, this is not a show that necessarily gets into what's happening in world affairs, though we might touch on it. This isn't a show that we get into that talks about what's going on in the sports world, though we might make fun of the Jets a little bit. This is not a world that gets into what's happening in politics, but this is a show that digs deep into the Word of God and proclaims it boldly, and we hope that we've done that today. We hope that you'll stick with us for the rest of the season, and God bless.
and we'll see you in church.